to day two.
Day two.
And live from CBC in Las Vegas. I think everybody survived, though I will say we are...
We don't know where Toby is.
So...
If anybody sees Toby...
Hey, on the bright note, we'll come home with 3/4 of the team.
That's good.
I mean, that's a good batting average.
It's only day two, though, so we don't know what's going to happen.
That's true. So we're super excited about today. We have sitting with us two wonderful, wonderful guests. We have Kevin Asato, who is the executive director of the National Black Brewers Association. And we have Chris Harris from Black Frog Brewery. Holland, Ohio.
I got all that right.
You got all that right.
Okay. Fantastic.
Good morning.
Whether I was reading it or not, I still got it right.
It's true. It's very true. Thank you both for joining us today.
Of course. Very honored to have you.
Before we dive into all the questions about the awesome event that we've got going on tonight, can you introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about the brewery. Get my mic to my mouth. Sorry, Haley.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you very much for having us today. I'm Kevin Asato, the Executive Director of National Black Brewers Association. We have actually can mark this event as our 1-year anniversary, kind of from our coming out party.
Yay!
Yes, we were publicly taking this opportunity last year to announce, wow, the Black Brewers are here, and we're here loud and proud. So this is such an exciting time to actually be able to come back for a second time, and a really, really great opportunity. So thank you very much for having us.
And hi, I'm Chris Harris, owner-operator of Black Frog Brewery. Again, thank you for having us. And I am one of the founding board members of NB2A.
Okay. That is awesome. I didn't realize how young the association was, actually. So here I am learning already. See, Heather gets up at 6 a.m. in Vegas.
Does her homework. Does her absolutely.
Homework. I'm the kid in class who just shows up. So
you're a good test taker, right? That's it.
He's copying off.
I'm on the podcast for my good looks.
Well, let me help you out a little bit more, Adam, there, okay? Or as my mom says, oh, honey, you have a face for radio. I'm like, oh. Lovely.
Do I have to say mom? That's weird.
But yeah, this association, and because you didn't do your homework, I'm happy to fill you in. Not only have we just been in existence for a year, our primary focus is to ensure that we can improve the number of Black people in brewery ownership and at the head brewmaster position there. That's our primary focus, how we're going to benchmark our vision. But we're also going to be the most trusted organization by which organizations or individuals could actually bring work resources to the Black brewing community. So as much as we see brewery ownership as a key factor, we're also going to make sure that we actually have a brewing community, that there are several Black people that want to be in the brewery industry but may not want to be owners. So we also will be able to cultivate and curate that community of players in here.
So, I'm going to walk all over this.
Do it.
So what kind of steps have you guys taken to help facilitate this for individuals who want to get into brewing, want to get into ownership of breweries, that kind of stuff?
Well, the obvious one is cold hard cash, right? That's the reality of things there. And it's also one of the things that was identified as a group as the biggest opportunity. There is still systemic racism that, you know, lives here, but it's not limited to the craft brewing industry. And so access to capital is an issue that most Black people have across several industries, but it's not alone. But so we are experiencing that piece. So primary piece that we can do is grant and give them access to capital. But secondarily, it would be insane for us just to hand over a check and not give them the additional resources to effectively manage a business. So the financial literacy that goes behind it and some of the additional tools such as quality control and giving that education on, you know, producing quality products. So there's a lot of education that, you know, is meant to support, even if it's legal resources, you name it there. So beyond just the cash, a lot of, you know, intellectual knowledge that comes in.
That's amazing. And so I was at the California Craft Brewers Conference a month and a half ago. The National Black Brewers Association was giving a presentation. You had mentioned in that presentation the percentage of Black-owned breweries operating in the United States. Can you tell our listeners?
Yeah, it's actually disturbingly low.
Yes.
You know, of the approximately 9,600 breweries in the U.S., less than 0.5% are Black-owned.
So you could say that the NB2A is very necessary.
Yes, it is actually that very reason, you know, know, so it doesn't matter what benchmark you use, that whether there's 13% of African Americans in the U.S. or even in the adult beverage drinking population, of which, you know, there's 8% that are black. Whatever benchmark you choose to use, less than 0.5% is not a good place to be. So our goal is to grow that. And so we don't have an endpoint. You know, we're not saying we're going to be X percentage. We just know that every year we're going to improve brewery ownership, you know, by at least one, but we're going to keep on growing, you know, and you know, brewery ownership as a key factor of our performance.
That's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about membership? How people can join? Who can join?
I'm happy to do so.
Come on, we're starting here. Look, we can just put this down and we can drink this beer.
Right. Chris likes the drinking part.
I do.
The beautiful thing about this organization, and it truly is beautiful, even though the name says National Black Brewers Association, very similar to the fact that even though we are here to improve the number of black-owned breweries, this is open to everyone. You know, absolutely everyone. So you do not have to be black. Hell, you don't even have to be a brewer to be in here. I liken it to something like the American Heart Association. You can be a supporter of the American Heart Association without having a heart attack, right? So, you know, so that's with a similar like story here. You know, just supporting, you know, you can think about what we're trying to do in the craft brewing industry, so you can be a supporter in that way. But even if you're not becoming a member, which is still the best way to support us, actually providing resources. So if you have a skill set, maybe you're an accountant and you're saying, you know something, I'd like to donate my time and my services, or maybe you have a piece of equipment that's no longer being used, we absolutely have a pathway to be able to support that. So anybody can become a member. So really want to drive that piece home there.
So I might have missed this already. Chris, how many members are we at this stage of the game?
We are at 91.
I'm sorry, what was that?
How many members are in the
No, we have actually now 176 members, but there are 88 black-owned breweries. So I think I want to make sure that we make that distinction.
Right.
Even though there's 88 black-owned breweries in the U.S., in terms of membership, you know, like I said, that number's always going to soar well past the number of black breweries there. So 176 right now.
Now, as Canadian, because I don't know if you mentioned this on this podcast or not before.
You're Canadian?
Is this a North American wine or is this specifically U.S. at the moment?
At this time, U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, but we definitely are getting some support and some visitors and getting noticed, you know, by outside of outside the U.S. So we have support from Senegal and various portions of Africa that are here because they're here to work that we're doing. So we're very, very pleased, and we won't turn anyone away. You know, we may not be able to offer resources.
You won't turn the Canadians away?
Not even the Canadians.
Yes. Everybody else does.
More than welcome. Yeah,
bring those Canadians in there. We love you all.
We'll bring our apologies and... So we got to, one of the initiatives that you are working on is the Black is Beautiful beer. We interviewed Marcus 2 years ago when we were down in Yakima, and he kind of gave us the whole breakdown of how it all became. Can you tell us a little bit about where it is now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the other key things that this association does. We're not necessarily looking to create anything new and different. We're definitely here to support some of the programs that are already in place. To your point, back in 2020 when, you know, Black is Beautiful was launched, you know, that had 1,601 brewers that brewed that collaboration, and that drove approximately $4.5 million of revenue to a social injustice charity of their choice. We revamped it and we said, great, this is a phenomenal piece, but let's direct those resources to the craft beer industry. And so those proceeds this year will go to the National Black Brewers Association. But this year, you know, we changed up the formula. The first time it was a stout. This year we made it a hazy IPA, you know, kind of being, you know, in time with the trends and whatnot. But we would love to have more partners brew this. You know, and we've been super, super fortunate to have some of our larger partners there. So the Boston Beer Company, which is one of our founding sponsors, they brewed it and sold it for us. So we were thrilled to pieces. From there, we've actually had another 22 brew it that we're aware of there. So we are loving the fact that we have partners like Stout that helped us build this program, but also Blue Label that's giving free labels away, you know, for this collaborative. Come and do this piece. Even if you just produce it and you have the free label, the proceeds from the free label will be enough to actually donate back to the MB2A.
And everybody can find all the information about this on your website. So we can shoot everybody that way.
Yeah. blackisbeautiful.beer is the website. Blackisbeautiful.beer.
It's a wonderful website.
Yeah.
So in October 10th is National Black Brewers Day, correct?
Yes, it is.
Can you tell us about that?
So October 10th is National Black Brewers Day in honor of Theodore Mack. And he was the very first African-American to own a black brewery in the United States. And us as an organization, we wanted to do something to honor him for being the very first to own a black brewery in the United States.
And you had mentioned earlier, you said 1970?
1970, wow. Yes.
I was kind of blown away by that. It seems late in the timeline for breweries in the States.
Right.
So it's, you know, I mean, I think it speaks to the larger issue right there.
Which is exactly what you guys are. And
it
really hasn't been anyone major since Theodore Mack in 1970. It probably hasn't been until here into the late 1990s or, you know, 2000s, where we're starting to see more black breweries in the United States.
So, you as an owner of a brewery, when did you open your spot?
I opened my brewery in 2014.
Okay. Now, were you a brewer? Were you a brewer, like a home brewer, or were you a brewer before?
I was not. Yeah. I was a home brewer.
Yeah.
Making beer at home and taking it to work and giving it to people because I was making so much beer.
Oh, you're nicer than I am.
You're a really good coworker.
And I don't know if people were gassing me up, but, you know, they would say they would love it. And like, man, it'd be nice if you opened a brewery. Yeah. And speaking to Kevin's point about the impact of getting capital to get started, that was one of my major hurdles. So what I had to actually do is I converted half my garage into my brewery, and I was able to legally make beer out of my garage because I had to take money out of a 401k just to even do that because I really didn't have capital to open a brick and mortar place.
Okay, I guess that was kind of the example that I was really hoping for.
Right.
You know, it's you have faced these challenges yourself.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, yeah.
And there's a lot of roadblocks to trying to get capital to open a brewery, and the cost and the price point to start a brewery is astronomical. And so sometimes you have to start at that bootstrap level to get going.
So 10 years in.
10 years
Congratulations.
In.
Congratulations.
Wow. Thank you.
It's been fantastic. Yeah, 10 years
in. Are you still brewing in your garage?
No, I do miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
But we opened a brick and mortar spot in 2016. And now we're expanding. We're opening a location in the Cleveland area to be open in 2025.
Nice.
Congratulations.
So put that in perspective there. You're talking to a black brewer that started from his home, pulled out his own retirement money to make this thing happen. He's done it so well that it was once a small little spot, is now a second spot. Now, we're also in the time where everybody's saying, oh, the beer industry is soft, or it's the declining industry. If it's so soft, then why is it that this man is able to open up another location? It's not because he wants to give money away and throw it down the drain. There's other ways to do that.
Right. I mean, if you want that, I'm here to help.
I'll keep you in mind.
But it speaks to the very key point of the fact that, you know, breweries are still community-based, right?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And when you think about the growth of craft beer, it was supported by the regional and local players, right? The crazy thing about this, in the black communities, there just aren't, right? There just aren't many. But where we do have them, man, alcohol is being drank responsibly. We're introducing black people to quality beer as opposed to the old-fashioned 40-ounce malt liquor model, right? That's how we and black people have historically been marketed to.
Right.
So now that we're able to bring that demographic, and the African-American demographic is a whole group of people that have yet to really be exposed to quality beer. So when you're supporting a black brewer, you're actually supporting an avenue to help grow the craft beer industry by bringing in a very new, very young demographic of African-American males. make my State of the Black Brewer address tomorrow, which is going to be a big deal. I can tell you, I'll give you a little nugget here.
I like nuggets.
There are 16 million adult-aged people of color that drink alcohol, but not beer. There is no other demographic with that base of volume, meaning that there are so many people that drink, but they just don't drink beer.
Yeah.
They drink spirits. Almost 90% of people, not people who drink spirits, but don't drink beer. That's an alarming number. You don't see that gap in any other demographic there. So when you talk about how do we help the beer industry, Black brewers can absolutely help that cause.
And we're trying to bridge that. And that was one of the things that I noticed when I very first started, was that the craft beer industry didn't really, you know, market towards the African-American crowd. To put it bluntly, I mean, they marketed towards somebody like you, a white guy, with a beard.
They're just missing the flannel right now.
And it just wasn't marketed towards, you know, us. And if they did market towards us, it was, as you said, it was 40 ounces. It was malt liquor. It wasn't a high-quality craft beer. And again, that's what we're here to try and change and turn that around to bring more people of color into the craft beer industry, because I think that's a market that is being missed right now.
Absolutely. Speaking of high quality craft beer, can you tell us about the event tonight, the Tap Takeover tonight?
Absolutely.
And all the, I think I saw there was like 20 plus beers on tap.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You nailed it. So this is, as I mentioned before, this is our 1 year anniversary coming to the BA. We thought that this would be the prime opportunity to essentially showcase our Black brewers. And we're focusing on the West Coast brewers because we're in Vegas, right? So let's keep our West Coast partners in play. And we have 20 beers on tap, over 20 beers that will be on tap. And you'll be able to try some of the best beers from the West Coast of the African-American community. That'll be tonight at Beer Zombie, so I expect to see.
We are so excited.
Yeah, heck yeah, you will. But more importantly, not only will the beers be the thing there, one of the key things we do, let's face it, Black people do shit well, right? Right? How many of you, actually, you're not rocking Jordans, but I will tell you this much. Whether it's music, athletics, fashion, we bring our culture and we bring it. Right? You know, think about Nike when they said, hey, everybody wants to be like Mike. You're right.
Yeah.
It's not just Black kids that are wearing, you know, like, you know, Jordans, right?
Right.
I can tell shit. Hey, look at that cat. He got Jordans on right behind you. See? And so everybody wants to be like Mike. And that's what's missing in the beer club, yeah. Right? We don't have that culture. So tonight, you'll get a feel.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what we love to say, bringing culture to the cup.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be bringing tonight. So come on down.
Jing to that.
Hey, you did it. There you go. We're all great to that. Sure. 6 to 10 tonight at Beer Zombie, 831 Bonanza Road.
Amazing.
It's like you've done this before, Kevin.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Kevin and Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We know you probably got a million and one things on the go, so thank you for taking the time to chat with us. And we will see y'all later tonight.
That you will.
Yeah.
That you will.
Also, one last live update.
Uh-oh.
Toby's alive.
Oh, we found Toby.
He just walked by. Okay. So it's for
the team is worried, back together.
Anybody that was worried, we found Toby. If you are at TBC, make sure to come and visit us at booth 961. If we didn't tell you yesterday, we have puppies at our booth. All day there will be puppies at our booth. They rotate out. They're amazing. They make you happy. So come meet the puppies. And you come say hi to us, too.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
great
you.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.